Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace.
Last week, Pastor talked with us about the importance of being aware of how we live, because as Christians, people are watching. We're also reminded that Christians are not the source of light, but are to be reflections of the one true light, Jesus Christ. Today we'll be building on that truth by looking at how each of us can make a difference by living up to the power of one. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day and how your Spirit has been leading in this service. We ask, Lord, that you continue to lead us and guide us as we worship you, now looking at your word. We pray that as you speak to our hearts, we will have ears to hear, but that we will also be able to go and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's maybe a little more challenging than I thought. I'm already breathing into it all the time. But it's better than last year because I wore the one over my ears and it was all in my eyes and stuff, so at least now I can see you. First thing I'd like to point out to us is that Christianity is possible only through Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. If you didn't bring your Bibles with you, there are Bibles available. Verses 11 through 13. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. First of all, there is salvation in no one else. This is one of the areas where non-Christians have problems with Christians, is that they view us as intolerant because we say there is no salvation outside of Christ. And we say that because that's what God's Word says. There is no other name by which men are saved. John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And this is the main reason why people have problems with Christians, because we're not flexible in that. God's word is not flexible in that. He just simply says, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You can't get to me any other way except through my Son. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that can bring us in good standing with God our Father. I like this verse 13 because even though it's talking about now these guys are going to be threatened and put in prison and all of that stuff for their faith, the people that were listening to Peter and John talk, you know, it takes a lot of courage to stand up in front of a group of people and say, you guys really blew it. Jesus came, God sent his son, the Messiah was here, you blew it. He was the cornerstone on which everything is to be built. And what did you do? You rejected him. Now, remember, Christ was crucified because he claimed to be the Son of God. And the Jewish leaders, they didn't like that at all. And so they were able to convince the people, to convince the Romans that Jesus Christ should be crucified. And now that he's dead, buried, and risen from the dead, these guys are standing before people saying, you blew it. You rejected him. Not only did you reject him, you killed him. So these, you know, these leaders, they're listening to these guys and they're saying, boy, these guys are pretty confident. They're not afraid to say that. And I like it because it says they were uneducated and untrained men, and they were amazed by that. I think a lot of times as Christians, we think we can't do certain things. We can't really be a good witness because, well, I didn't go to seminary. Well, I have a confession to make. I was a senior pastor for only over 20 years, and I never went to seminary. Well, I don't have a college degree. Well, I do have one of those, but it didn't do me much good. I crammed 6 years, 4 years into six. And, you know, by the time I got out, it was, they paid me to leave. Not really, but. People find all kinds of excuses why they can't. I've been saying that a lot myself lately to my wife because I'll be out doing something and all of a sudden I'll come in the house and I'll sit down. And once I sit down, my leg stiffens up and then I can't stand up. Or I can't stand at the stove and cook. Well, I can't do that because I got to go mow Carlotta's lawn today. That's going to take me 2 hours and by the time I get done with that, I can't. Do anything else. Only Christ can forgive sins. Without his blood washing away our sins, we are eternally lost. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin is what separates us from God. And only the blood of Christ can reconcile us with our Father. It's important for us to understand that Jesus saves us from our sins. A little bit later we're going to talk about there's more to it than that. But he saves us from our sins. Our sin is what brings us into the penalty of death. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Building relationship with him through prayer and Bible reading and fellowship with other believers, when we do that, we become Christ confident. Even though we may not be self-confident, we can be Christ confident. And what the leaders of the of the leaders of Jesus' day learned by listening to Peter and John talk was that they were Christ confident. You read about these guys before all this, and they were wishy-washy, trying to walk on water, sinking like rocks, cutting off people's ears in the garden because they wanted to defend Jesus, and doing all this crazy stuff that was way out of bounds with what Christ wanted. But they became Christ confident. And I want us to be able to understand that there's a difference between self-confidence and Christ confidence. We can do all things. How? Through Christ, who gives us strength. Christ confidence. With that confidence comes an inner character and a strength that enables us to truly reflect Christ. Did you know that Christianity is not a spectator sport? I've been to a lot of basketball games. I was a varsity boys basketball coach for over 20 years. And thankfully, people came to watch. Otherwise, you know, it would have been pretty lonely there to cheer on their team. The opposing teams, they brought fans, and it was quite an atmosphere. And it was interesting, and I even find this true myself. I couldn't play a game of basketball right now to save my soul. I can't run. I have a negative vertical leap. If I jump up, I fall down. Because there's nothing under me to catch me. My legs are just gone. I couldn't play the game. But I could teach it. I played it when I was younger. I could teach it. And coached for several years. But people in the crowd, you know, they're yelling this and yelling that and telling the kids to do this and telling the kids to do that, and they couldn't do it. But they know what the kids are supposed to do. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You can't just sit on your chair and wish for certain things to happen and live the Christian life. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." First thing Jesus says here is, all authority has been given to me. Jesus Christ is in charge. All authority in heaven and on earth. Again, this causes a rub with non-Christians because human nature resents authority. It's kind of interesting to watch children grow up that, you know, we teach them, how do they say that? They spend the first 2 years teaching them to walk and talk and the rest of their life to tell them to sit down and be quiet. Because, you know, once they learn to walk and talk and they've accomplished those things by, they just, you know, get minds of their own. And they don't mind letting you know about it. Do they, Pamela? We'll pull up in our, Pamela and Terry are our next door neighbors. We'll pull up into our driveway and Cody will be saying, "Aah!" and I'll be saying, Cody's not happy. They let you know. He heard me call his name. Look at him. Hi, Cody. See, when I was coaching, my guys listened to what I said. I taught them all the noise in the gymnasium, all the confusion that's going on. You learn my voice. Because when I shout something out, I need you to do it, and I need you to do it now. I only get so many timeouts a game. I can't call you over and talk to you every time we need to do something different than what's going on right now. For my ball team, I was in charge. For life, Christ is in charge. In heaven, on earth, there's no question who's the boss. He's the ultimate authority. And the next thing that he says to them is, after he establishes the fact that he's in charge, is, go! Go, therefore. Well, go where? Well, for them, it was into all the earth, all the world, make disciples. Go out and spread what's happened in your life and what I did on the cross, and I've risen from the dead, and teach the world all that I taught you so that they can become disciples of mine also and emulate and do what I've done. Well, for us, it might mean go next door. Or it might mean go across the street. As we are learning through the Apology Accepted, or learn through that series, that we must be prepared to defend our faith verbally, we must also be ready at all times to share what Christ has done in our lives physically. What does James 2:20 tell us? Faith without works is dead, useless, means nothing. You can't earn salvation through works, but once you are saved, you must work. You must demonstrate your faith by action. The world says things like, talk is cheap. And it is. I mean, you know, you can say almost anything. But as they also say, unless you're willing to put your money where your mouth is, it doesn't matter. If you're not willing to back what you say up, walk your talk, then it doesn't matter. It's inconsequential what you say. As my children were growing up, the one thing that I tried to make sure that they understood was, all you have in this life is your integrity. When you say something, what do people do? Do they believe it? Or do they ignore it? Because that guy says all kinds of stuff. See, Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood to save us from our sin, but he's called us to a life of action. Not just, oh good, now I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, and I'll come to church every week and sit in the pew and listen to what the preacher has to say and go home and become spiritually obese because I won't exercise what I've heard. saved from sin, called to a purpose. Now, I don't know what that is for you. You know, we did our little skit this morning, The Call, and the sitter just sat there and waited for his phone to ring while the stander was vigilant. He saw things that had to be done, and he went and did them. Christianity is not complicated. I didn't say it was easy. There's nothing easy about being a Christian. But it's not complicated. The power of one. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. True? That's what the Bible says. How much difference can one person make? Ecclesiastes verse 9, chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. I really truly believe that it's impossible for a person to go through this life with their head up and their eyes open and not see that there's work to be done. What does the scripture say? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The fields are white unto harvest, but where are the workers? Churches across America are filled on Sunday mornings. When we leave church, what are we doing? Now, what did we hear while we were at church? But when we leave church, what are we doing about what we heard in church? Can you go to that ugly picture I put on there? Yeah. I call myself Lawnmower Man. Around my neighborhood, there are some vacant lots, abandoned houses. And the city of Flint, budgetary reasons, personnel, manpower reasons, whatever, just ignores those houses and lets the lawns grow till 3-4 feet, can't even see the house sometimes because of the grass. There was a warehouse fire down on Dort Highway and Court Street, just a little bit south of Court Street. And my understanding is, and I went and checked it out, it truly did burn. It was consumed with fire. That the reason they couldn't put the fire out was because the grass was so tall they couldn't find the fire hydrant. When I come out of Dakota Avenue and try to turn on the Dort Highway, I didn't put all these pictures up there, but the grass was so tall, you actually have to pull out onto Dort Highway to see left or right if it's safe to go out on the street. By the time you've done that, you know, you could get smacked by something coming down the street. And so I took my lawnmower up to the corner and my little weed clippers and everything and spent some time and took all the grass down, and lo and behold, there's a street there. Dort Highway goes around the curve, and cars come up and down that all the time. And you can actually see them coming at you now without having to pull all the way out into the street at the risk of getting hit. Now, this isn't a look what I've done kind of thing. This is just a matter of seeing hey, you know what? I think that grass needs to be cut. So I have a lawnmower. I know how to cut grass. Hey, how about if I go cut that grass? Now, a little funny side note about that is I had several people come up to me while I'm doing that. One of them rode his bike up to me and says, hey, you trying to make a difference? I said, no, I am making a difference. I had another guy walk up to me one day, and he's sauntering up to me, and I could tell this guy wants something. I'm weeding as fast as I can, making as much noise as I can. He still walked right up to me. True story. I was thinking about getting some chips. You got some change? I'm working here. I had two or three other people come up to me and say, hey, you need some help? Yeah, I could use some help. I'm not getting paid anything, but I'm making it safe for the drivers. Well, I'll go get my tools and I'll come back. That was 3 weeks ago. Still waiting. By the way, that's why I can't keep my pants up anymore either, because I'm mowing all this grass. I do praise the Lord that I went to my doctor one day and he said, you're going to be on insulin. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, what? I said, no, I'm not. I said, you know, I've been a diabetic for 10 years. I never tried. I was on a seafood diet. See it? Eat it. Love it? Eat some more. And the Lord has helped me over a year to lose over 110 pounds. That just, you know, you just got to do. You know, I just decided I'm not going to be on insulin. What are the decisions you need to make? What is it that you need to do to make a difference in your own life, in your own home, in your own town, your own neighborhood, your own community, even in your own church? If you see a need, fill a need. Now you can go back, get back in order. I know I messed you all up on that, but we must be vigilant. To be vigilant is to be keenly watchful. It means looking for opportunity, as in the little skit this morning. See, here's the problem. We're waiting for a call that's already been given. The call says, go. Two letters. G-O. There's a word that rhymes with that called no, and I used to ask my kids, what part of that word do you not understand, the N or the O? Well, it's the same way with go. Is it a complicated word? No. It means you go start from point A and you go to point B. And somewhere along the lines, you accomplish something that can point your neighbors, your family, your fellow brothers and sisters to Christ. You know, anybody can mow grass. But I like to tell those people that come and offer me help or ask me if I'm making a difference, you know what? This lawnmower didn't cost me one penny. Grabiels gave it to me when I hit a tree stump with my other one that I did buy. Bent that crankshaft all to pieces. So guess what? I'm going to use this little lawnmower, this little light of mine, and I'm going to shine with it. I asked the neighbor the other day, her landlord was there, I said, would you like me to cut your grass? She says, oh, I don't have any money. Landlord had promised her he would mow her grass, and he hadn't done it, and her grass was getting tall. I said, you don't have a lawnmower, do you? She said, no. I said, I'll do your grass for free. So the first time I did it, she came out on the porch, and she said, I really appreciate you mowing my grass, but I got to ask you, why? Then I could tell her why. First of all, I want to be a good neighbor. Second of all, I love you as I love myself. I wouldn't let my grass grow like that. Why would I let your grass grow like that? You know, you work 10, 12 hours a day, 6, 7 days a week. There's not much grass there. I can cut that. I'm going to be cutting mine anyway. There's a Christian singing group called Building 429. They sing a song called Get Up. The gist of the song is that it's time for Christians to get up, stop sitting around, and take action. There are two lines of the song that stuck out to me. And by the way, I'm learning a lot of new songs, James, because I went out to iTunes and I got all this music on my iPod because I got tired of hearing while I'm mowing the grass. So now I got all these new tunes, and this is just one of them. Here's what it says. One of the lines in that song says, if you are mine, you will shine. Christian group. Jesus says, if you're mine, you will shine. Second line that sticks out to me is, our hands were made for reaching out. Now, I know that times are hard, economy stinks. You know, people have needs. And the tendency most of the time is for us to have our hands reaching out like this. Because I need help. And it's a reality. I'm not, you know, denying that. But if we're so consumed with what we need, we won't be able to reach our hand out and do this. Grab my hand. We won't be able to do that. Go ahead. Thanks. Here's the last point. Time is limited. Time is limited. Ecclesiastes 9 or 3:20 says, all go to the same place. All come from dust. All return to dust. And Ecclesiastes 9:12 says, moreover, no man knows his time. What does the verse say? Ecclesiastes 9:10. I'll find it in a minute and I'll read it again. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. There is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. See, the time to work is now. Not later. We aren't promised later. We're only promised now. So as we learn to defend our faith verbally, we also need to learn to defend our faith actively, physically, through action. There's a cute little story I want to conclude with. Are you guys tired looking at that? Yeah, I am. Question is, whose job is it? Well, it's the city of Flint's job to mow the lawn, the grass, keep those easements clear. Well, I could help. Seems there were these four people. Their names were Everybody, Somebody, Nobody, and Anybody. And whenever there was an important job to do, these four guys, you know, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. When nobody did it, everybody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought somebody would do it, but nobody realized that nobody would do it. So consequently, everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. I didn't make that up. I'm not that clever. But is it true or not? So, the challenge for us is to, as Christians, yes, defend your faith. Be prepared to share what Christ has done in your life. But God gave us feet to go and hands to do and eyes to see what needs to be done. We have jobs. We have blocks of time in our day that are specifically designated for certain activities. But while you're at your job, what you doing? I heard somebody say today that somebody said to them that they could tell they were a Christian. Well, guess what that means? Somebody's been doing the business of the Lord when they see something that needs to be done. People are watching. Yeah, they're listening. They want to hear what you have to say, but they really want to see what you're going to do. That's pretty simple. The power of one. You are one, and you are one. We are all one. Christ is the only one who can bring salvation. Christianity is impossible without Christ. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not complicated. Go, therefore. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word is truth. Help us, Lord, to be not hearers of the word only, but doers also. Go with us as we leave this place, and help us, Lord, to be vigilant. As Christ said, even when he was a child, I must be about my Father's business. Help us, Lord, because our hands were made for reaching out. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.